Hello, my name is John Zagurski.
And I'm Amanda Hickman.
And this is the seventh week of Donna's Cine Cool class.
This week we will be discussing Blow Up by Michelangelo Antonioni.
The scene is set in London during the 1960s.
The happening place of the world.
A place where minds run free.
Where the music lives, man.
And the youth take over.
It is here that we meet Thomas, the London-renowned fashion photographer whom all the girls wish to meet.
Thomas is self-consumed, controlling, and constantly needing his importance validated. The movie intros with Thomas taking photos of a few models. He is constantly controlling them. Next, he moves on to constantly running around London taking photographs of everything he can find. You can see that his fans are following him and just want to have their pictures taken and will do anything to get there. Thomas actually goes to a park where he takes a picture of two lovers. This is where it introduces the female character, Jane, which he's horribly fascinated with.
Jane automatically gets our attention because she is perplexed by him taking a picture of her and her lover. We're fascinated by the relationship. Is this a scandal, or are they not supposed to be seen? Well, anyway, she ends up tracking down Thomas and demanding that he give her the pictures. However, her interest sparks his interest, so he tricks her and gives her a film case that is not actually the pictures and keeps the actual film for himself. As the pictures develop, though, does a murder also?
It is never really evident during the film that a murder has actually occurred. Thomas only stumbles upon this by keeping zooming in on the picture and Jane's face. He believes by the blurs that a man was holding a gun and he saved a man's life. When he revisited the park, he supposedly found a dead body, but never had his camera to film it, so it questions whether the reality of it was true. He actually takes a trip around London and going through trying to find a man and searching after Jane, where he supposedly sees her outside of a concert. He then goes to a party and just gets lost in getting high and never actually gets his picture.
After the party, when he wakes up the next morning, he rushes back to the park realizing they had forgotten to take a picture that night. But we and he both see that the body is not there. So, was there actually a murder? Well, we're pondering this as he walks out of the park. It is here that we see the mimes from the beginning of the show rushing around having a good time. Well, anyways, they stop at this tennis court and start playing mime tennis, where there's not a ball, there aren't rackets, but there's definitely a game going on. As they're playing, the supposed ball jumps out of the court where they ask Thomas to retrieve it and give it back to him. Well, he goes over to where the ball dropped, throws this imaginary ball back into the court, and they start playing. Well, the camera never goes back to the game. It focuses on Thomas, where we start hearing the subtle sounds of a tennis game. So, if we can hear a game that's not happening, was there a murder that actually happened?
The question is reality actually true, or is it just what we perceive? And what kind of validations do we have to actually have it to be reality?
This is something that Antonioni really wanted us to take from the film. And, you know, as we discussed in class, Antonioni felt like he had various lenses between him and the rest of the world, as if it was all imaginary. We were just playing a role or something like that.
This whole idea that there are so many things standing between us and actual reality, the questions like the barriers of reality, what is the actuality of reality? Is language hindering us? Are our clothes, are our fashion, are the things around us, society, all hindering our sense of reality? This was the bigger question that came out of the 60s and out of London during this time.
It definitely the 60s, for sure. I mean, when we look back, there seemed to be two complete extremes. For one, you were living life. You were so cool and laid back and smoking your weed and having just a good time and doing whatever popped into your head. But on the other side, as we see in this movie, there's complete dead stillness where you're just kind of sitting back and watching life happen. It's almost as if they couldn't decide what side they wanted to be on, if they wanted to observe or if they wanted to live.
Yeah, it was really contradictory. I mean, the only way for Thomas to actually be cool was, you know, for him to be still. But he was never still throughout the whole movie. You see with the people watching the band, they were still because that was what was cool. Thomas controlling the woman and making her being still during music and not dancing because that was cool. You have to really question the contradictory there, and this was the contradictory that was going on in the 60s, as Amanda said.
So once again, in this class, we are trying to search the meaning of cool as it's portrayed in these films. So in this film, what can we learn from Thomas about cool?
Well, Thomas, I think he's an anti-hero. I don't think he's cool. But other people portray him as cool, which that doesn't actually make him cool. It just makes him perceived as cool.
So that means it's kind of going back to the whole what is perceived as true and what's not true, what is perceived as cool and what is cool. You know, to me, I didn't find him very cool. He was demanding, he was controlling. He had no sense of privacy. I mean, the guy just, I wouldn't want to be around him, really. I don't see why these girls went after him.
No, I think his profession made him cool and his competency. That's what they all respected because he was renowned for what he did, which means he was horribly competent. That gave him the perception of being cool. Him himself, he didn't even understand himself. I mean, he constantly makes references like, I want to be like that guy, the impoverished one, right there on the piece of paper, which I'm still in his torment. He was confused about himself. In the coolest place in the world, London, he wanted to escape it because it apparently wasn't doing something for him.
And I think that was just a sense of him thinking, almost, you know, do you think he may have seen himself as too cool? You know, he had all these people saying he was cool. And so he thought, hey, I am. And so when London starts not acting cool to him, he feels like he's seen it all and photographed it all. He starts focusing on these negative, painful sides of London, but it's him making it out that way.
Thomas's search for truth in the pain of London is like our search for cool. We have to look in undisclosed places to try to find something that's not there and show it to the rest of the world, and this is what he was known for. And this is what we're trying to accomplish, show people cool in these films that may have not been there or people have not perceived them this way, and it's enlightening us, and just like it enlightened him, it's just he got nothing from it, whereas we are getting an educational side of it.
And, you know, once again, this ties back to maybe what Antonioni was trying to do with the film. He was trying to get us to question what we see as cool, what we see as reality. And so we just have to go out there and question things. Maybe a photograph isn't true. It's the person behind, because it's the person who behind it who took the picture. That's their opinion, their angle of it.
I'm John Zagurski.
And I'm Amanda Hickman. Once again, thanks for joining us
for the 7th podcast of Cine Cool.